The Guardian.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I'm Paul McInnes, and on this week's show, they were stars of the Camden Crawl and are proud to be called indie. We talked to Hatcham Social. We'll be chewing over new tunes from Make Model, Death Cab for Cutie and Lupe Fiasco with Kitty Empire and our very own Rosie Swash.
Hello.
And we'll be saluting friends and the drum and bass massive in your feedback. But first, is it really that time?
In the world to a brand new girl I don't even know yet. Next thing she's wearing my Rolex. Too much shams, don't know where my phone is. Here's my number, she already knows it. This chapter's a lot, better close it. Just the look in her eye was so evil. Wiley's a party guy and she knows it.
What would we do?
Usually drink, usually dance, usually bubble.
That's Wearing My Rolex by Wiley, the song that spawned the YouTube frenzy and more than the odd radio spin too. Wiley is one of the originators of grime. He gave Dizzy Rascal his break and has been involved in various crews from Roll Deep to, now, Boy Better Know. But in a small world that has more critical interest than sales figures, his Rolex tune looks set to chart high this week, taking the man to a place he's never been before. It's also giddy that he's changed his MySpace tagline to read King of Radio 1. So when we met, I asked him if that meant he got a telegram from Chris Moyles.
Do you know what it is? In our world, you know, like reinvention, naming yourself something, da 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 da, it all works. And obviously, at the time when Skepta was saying King of Grime, and I was sitting there thinking, well, at the moment he is doing a few things. Although King of Grime argument is arguable, and I thought I've been the King of Grime, so let me try something else. And I tried a Radio 1 trick, and then it worked because someone else rang me up and said, "No, man. Why is everyone saying they're king?" And I thought, look, see, that means you want to be a king, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You just keep the emperor in the back pocket and maybe you can wheel that out later on.
Yeah, you've got to try a little
emperor trick. At CBS. Listen, this song, obviously, you know, you're hearing it, I presume, everywhere you go at the minute.
Yeah, do you know what? Singing it. I'm not, but it is there. Because you know what I do? Anytime something's too much for me, I have to sort of close it. Otherwise, I'll get too excited. You know what I mean? Everyone's, like, trying to get to me and talk to me about it. And I'm just like... not shy, but yeah.
What happens when you get too excited? You mean you kind of, you fall out of love with the stuff you've made, or
no? Like, you know, like praise. You know, like if someone says to you, "Oh, you're the blah blah," and you're the blah, and they keep saying it for years and years and years and years. If you're a down to earth person, your head won't get big. But there comes a time when you can't help but it fills your body, and that's what's happening to me.
Do you worry that might affect your work, or that might stop you trying things?
I'm not trying to have a big head, but it might just come anyway without you even wanting it, and then you start to be like, I've seen people who are famous to people who are not, so then I think, rah, I'll never be like that. But then sometimes you can't help but, you know what I mean? So I don't know, man. I hope I can stay down to earth, but too much excitement makes me just like... not want to face anyone because I think, shit, man.
So tell us about Wearing My Rolex. It's a grime track, but it sounds like a club track as well. How would you describe it musically?
I think it's electro. It's electro, it's dance music, basically. And I think that the sample in it from old school helped it to sort of be today's dance music thing. So I put a grime element to it.
Do you think this is where you see grime going now, kind of off the streets and back to the clubs? Because that's the way that, say, hip-hop's been going in the state over the past couple of years.
Everyone says, this tune's going to pave the way for grime. It's not, because it's not grime on its own, is it? But what it will do is pave the way for open-minded people who would do that sort of music or any type of music to try and get through the door. Mm-hmm. That is what it will do. And obviously my album, which is going to come out next after this, Wear My Rolex, is going to be grime. I call it commercial grime now because I don't want it to be grime. I try and brighten it up with chords and bridges and try and make it proper music instead of just a beat 140 BPM. So that's what is going to be next. I hope that grime comes forward, but I know it's going to take time. It ain't going to just blow tomorrow. It's not.
How do you explain that? Because grime is like, it's never had that commercial breakthrough.
Yeah.
And what do you think that is?
First of all, it might have been too young. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen in the rest of the scene, but anyone who's good, like Chipmunk, Ice Kid, any Scorchers, like the Skeptors, they're already with me. Anyone who shows greatness down at that level will be come up. Like, I'll bring them up, we'll rise. But otherwise, I don't know. I really don't, because hip-hop took 30... 25 years, maybe 20. I don't know, mate. I might be 50. That's what I'm scared of. That's why I don't like talking
behind the
about
desk
it.
With a big cigar or something.
You see, I know what you read so well. If you ask me why they speak for the whole of E3, when I say that Lucha won't make anybody bow to me, so I ain't wolf back. Wait, I know E3 won't accept another donut MC. Disrespect E3. I'm always trying to rep M's, but certain friends on M's, they don't know E3. Cause when it's ripping time, I show E3. We made a genre, everybody's on top. It's all come from Bo E3. It's Wiley, aka S, where I'm from. You get me?
Is the grime scene, because obviously you're from Bo,
yeah.
And that's where grime came from.
Yeah.
Is it still as tight as it was?
Not in East London anymore, if I'll be honest with you. It's slided over to North. Whose fault's that? Maybe mine and Dizzy's. Mm. Both of us, not just one of us, both of us, for not keeping our area tight and making it rise. But in West and South, it's still going on. So what I realised is that now it's become a London thing, it's become an England thing. As drum and bass did, it started in London, I mean Jungle and stuff, and then all of a sudden Ronnie Sides is the best for drum, and it started to go like that, and he's from Bristol, so that's what's happening now.
How are things for you and Dizzy at the moment?
Yeah, I haven't spoke to him for a little while, but Dizzy's my little brother, man. I love him. You know, brothers, they sometimes don't talk, they sometimes do talk, they see eye to eye, they sometimes don't, sometimes there's no reason, sometimes there is a reason.
Have you spoken to him since Pussy Hole?
Nah, but the Pussy Old tune, see, that tune was just a tune that he felt like he had to do. That didn't touch me, it wasn't even Graham, it didn't hurt me. And the same tune he done was a tune that I used to dance to, It Takes Two to Anything. So that wasn't schooling me in any way. He was explaining a few things. I'm not a pussy, obviously. I've been through more things than him, and obviously I've come out of the bad end and good end, and I don't promote violence, but he just done that. He felt like he had to do that. He didn't mean that. I've said stuff that I didn't mean before. I can't bail and move back. I'm ahead of all that. All them road attacks wanna go worldwide. Back to new rides. Hypes are right, but I'm nearly 29. When I reach 30, I've gotta be nice. Make dough every day for the rest of my life. Place money up, I didn't roll no dice. I'll take control of my life. Won't draw no gun, I won't draw no knife. I'm letting go of all that.
Grime has, fairly or not, developed this reputation as kind of something which has, you know, brings violence with it to club nights and stuff like that, which has involved kind of things, nights being closed down and stuff like that. First of all, do you feel that's a fair tag that it's got? And two,
yeah,
do you think it's changed?
I don't care, really, yeah. Because you know what? I do bookings every night of the week. And as I said, the stuff that don't affect me, I can't care anymore because I'm 29. If I was a kid and I had time to push the thing, I would care. Not anymore. As long as I'm being paid, whoever else is messing up for themselves, that is up to you, mate. Because I want to be able to do a Wiley live in Wembley. But I don't want bad stigma, misery, the reason I can't. So all bad stigma, get away from me. I've got two daughters. I'm trying to live right.
What I'm wondering about is also this... you know, you are a kind of a, well, you're a producer,
yeah.
You're a rhymer, sure. But you're also kind of like that, you know, that kind of hip hop thing of CEO. You've got your little clothing labels, you've got your various bits and bobs.
Yeah.
What gives you the most satisfaction? What is the thing you consider yourself to be first and foremost?
Studio rap. Otherwise, I can't do anything. If I can't make music or I can't perform, I can't do it. The more time I spend in the studio, the more time I spend performing, I actually see my life coming together.
Yeah.
So if I do put my own mind to what I want to do, it can come true if I believe I've got that power to, mm-hmm. to go studio and do that. That's why the studio is my...
sanctuary.
Yeah.
One final question, really. Estelle, who recently went to number one with that big Kanye tune, was talking about the white British soul singers and how kind of they've got lots of promotion, and she's not quite sure that that's not got nothing to do with the colour of people's skin. Do you think that there's anything with that grime has been treated in a particular way or maybe marginalised because it's mainly being made by black people?
No, because obviously I know a white person who makes it, who's good. I know a white MC who MCs is good. So there's no colour really in our thing. But Estelle's argument is, see, obviously we're living in England, blah, blah, blah. She might not have got the thing, so she had to go to the States. But I don't have to go to the States because I speak English. You can understand me, so can you. What do I need to go? I can go there, but I don't need to go there to prove that I'm someone to come back here.
Yeah.
So I think that she always wanted to go there. Some people just love America. Americans, should I say. And some people love America. I love America so I can take all my pounds and double up and spend and eat food and come home.
So to round things up, tell us a little bit more about the album, what's coming up, what tunes we should be looking out
yeah,
for.
Yeah, so the album is basically, again, it's a Graham album, but commercial Graham it is this time. So it's commercial Graham with hooks and stuff to make sing-alongs. So it's not just dark and it's not just everyone spitting and chatting rubbish, basically. So it's more songs on it. I've got some ballady piano. Like, I'm going for gold here. I'm trying to go for gold anyway.
That's Wiley. And Where My Rolex is available to download now or buy physically on May the 5th. Rosie, how is this doing chart-wise?
It's currently at number 7 in the midweek charts on download only.
Download only. That's the sort of thing that Christina Aguilera gets.
Yes, that's right.
Do you think grime artists need to be wary of selling out, of doing these sorts of kind of crossover tunes, or do you think it's about time that they broke out of their little spitting
ghetto? You've got to do it if they want to sell records. I mean, any scene, whatever you want to call it, has got its boundaries. Grime, I think, more so than others, it's very limited. But like any scene, the cream will rise.
And it rhymed too. Moving on, and it's time for our single favourite moment on the pod. Or at least the moment where we try to find our favourite singles. Yes, it's the Singles Club, and we're joined by The Observer's Executive Chief Inspector of Pop, Kitty Empire, discuss this week's tunes. Hi, how are you?
All right, thank you very much.
Good, I'm very glad to hear that.
I'm keeping the Emperor in my pocket.
Keep the Emperor in your pocket. That's the maxim I live by. If I did have a MySpace page, I would put it on there. We start this week's reviews with Death Cab for Cutie, and I Will Possess Your Heart.
There are days when outside your window I see my reflection as I slowly pass, and I long for this mirrored perspective when we'll be lovers, lovers at last. You gotta spend some time, love. You gotta spend some time with me, and I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart.
That's I Will Possess Your Heart by Death Cab for Cutie. Death Cab for Cutie started life as the name for singer Ben Gibbard's solo act. By the late 90s, Gibbard, a native of Washington State, had been joined by Chris Waller, Nick Harmer and Nathan Good, and an American alt-rock dream was born. Gibbard is also known for his part in the group The Postal Service with James Tamborello. This band have only recorded one album, Give Up, but promise that another one is on its way. I Will Possess Your Heart is an 8.5 minute long introductory single to the band's 8th album, Narrow Stairs, which is out in May 2008. Rosie, is an 8.5 minute long single any barrier to enjoyment?
Absolutely not. The opposite is true. The first 4 minutes of this track build and build and build. And then when Ben Gibbard comes in and sings the opening line, it all stops and then it starts again. It's just brilliant. And it's not usually the kind of thing I like. I was talking to Kitty before saying Sebado is about as much as I like sort of nerdy American alt-rock. And the likes of The Shins or Death Cab for Cutie has never really been for me. But this, I think this song is absolutely brilliant and I haven't stopped listening to it.
Why do you think it stands apart from The Shins?
I don't know whether it helps that it is a bit, I mean, I hate saying epic when you describe a song, but it has got that epic feel because of the length and because of the way it's set out. It feels like a mini masterpiece, but also because there's a bit of attitude in there which maybe you wouldn't get in other ones, even though there's a kind of desperate sentiment to him obviously loving someone that's not giving him the time of day. He also seems quite convinced that if she does give him the time of day, he will possess her heart.
Indeed. Kitty, it's also got a bit of a jaunt to its stride, hasn't it, this tune?
Not for me, I have to say. What I'd like to echo what Rosie just said, going sort of 27 bars without a vocal and on a single is quite extraordinary, and I think that's the single excellent thing about this record. I struggle with Death Cab for Cutie, which is a polite way of saying I don't like Death Cab for Cutie. I reviewed them last year when they played, and the single most exciting thing about that gig was being 10 feet away from Johnny Marr, who joined them briefly. I don't know whether he's still in the band. I think he's obviously busy with the Cribs.
Is that where he's currently residing?
He also played with the Cribs last year. So Death Cab, a terrible struggle. I think.
Why do you have a terrible struggle with them?
They try to be different, and I fear that trying to be different means you're doomed to not really have melodies that go anywhere and have lots of atmospheric, overlapping, clever production techniques which lead precisely nowhere.
Mm. And is that not very apparent in this song itself?
This is actually fairly straightforward and to the point for an 8.5 minute single. It actually has a tune, you know, all the rest of it. It has a nice narrative arc, you know, all these kind of fairly poncy things. But anyway, all these fairly basic things. Mm. I just feel that they're not as imaginative as they think they are, and that's where I fall down with them.
Fair enough. I Will Possess Your Heart by Death Cab for Cutie is out now. Next track up, Paris Tokyo by Lupe Fiasco.
The reason I get fly is I've been Jasper. I even keep your picture in my passport. Love, love.
That was Paris Tokyo by Lupe Fiasco. Lupe Fiasco is a Chicago rapper, sometimes portrayed as the savior of hip-hop from Everything Muscular and Maury... Lupe Fiasco is a Chicago rapper, sometimes portrayed as the savior of hip-hop from Everything Muscular and money-orientated. Other times he's painted as a skateboarding ponce who thinks a little too much of himself. He's a Muslim, a fan of the X-Men, and is rumored to be making just the one more album before retiring. Heard that one before. Kitty, what do you think of this song?
I like it. It's a little jazzy. It's a little sophisticated.
Just a little bit.
I think what's interesting is in the last few years, with Lupe Fiasco and people like Kanye West and Pharrell Williams to some extent, we've seen this kind of, for lack of a better word, bourgeois hip-hop emerging, where everyone's, you know, educated and dropping references to interesting things. And it's got, particularly the song, it's got an internationalist flavour. And hip-hop was, for so long, a parochial interest, you know, of the LA hoods or the New York hoods. You know, it was a very American-focused thing. And so it's a real, I would say, it's a real step forward for hip-hop in some ways. However, I think it's a terrible shame that Lupe Fiasco doesn't sell more records, because he is quite poppy. And this is a strange choice for a single for me. It's very sort of jazzy and sophisticated, and it doesn't really show you his incredibly clever wordplay.
I mean, what he's got, I definitely agree with you on the bourgeois thing, but not so much because it's worldly, but because it's very product obsessed. It's very consumerist, and he's dropping his iPhone into the lyrics and various different references to things he owns, which is obviously very Kanye. But musically, Rosie, this just sounds flat to me. It just reminds me of very strongly of a Mos Def album track or something like that.
Totally. I think what we were saying before about, muscular hip-hop. Well, he's done that before with Dumb It Down, such a big-sounding record. And it's like this track is missing a bass line or something fundamental to it, and it just feels really light and fluffy. But it was interesting what Kitty was saying about the international references, because when I interviewed him for that playlist we did a while ago, he said that April in Paris, Ella Fitzgerald's version, was one of his favourite songs, and he liked the way she brought a level of exoticness to it. So it feels like he thinks that he's thinking outside the box more than he actually is in this. But I think it's more than anything the theme or anything that the lyrics are a bit dry and dull and beneath his capabilities.
And also thinking outside the box when he's talking about leaving his girlfriend behind to go and have a jolly around the world with his mates.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter which way he frames it, it's pretty traditional fare.
I think that theme in itself has been covered a lot of times, and he doesn't really appear to be sincere in saying, I'm really going to miss you. It's more like, but hey, first class. Kosher food in first class. Brilliant.
You could do that.
If you read the tabloids today, you'll know that Kanye West has just split up with his girlfriend because of the pressures of his impending world tour. So perhaps this is a bit of prescience on the part of Lupe.
We'll interpret it positively and look at it in that light, I think. Okay, Paris Tokyo is out now too. Final track on Singles Club this week is Make Model and a track called The LSB.
We've got our weapons and our bubble gum. We've got a target and our robot snacks. We've got our reasons and our recent.
That's the LSB by Make Model. Make Model are a Scottish six-piece who have come together from the remnants of other exotically named acts like Dance Lazarus Dance, Carson and Fickle Public. Described as folk pop and, by our very own Paul Lester, as Scotland's answer to the broken social scene, they were signed to EMI last year when this very track was out on the band's own label, The Biz. The Bandkeeper blog, and the latest posting is about meeting a Norwegian woman at the Guildford Travel Lodge. So, it's pretty hot. Rosie, Make Model, for you or not?
Not for me.
Have you ever made a model in your spare time? Were you ever one of the people who took balsa, bits of balsa and stuck them together with glue?
I made a tie once at school, but they didn't get me very far in the textile.
No.
I think it got me to a D GCSE.
Oh,
well, I probably shouldn't talk about
that. No, we shouldn't talk about that. People, respect for you will fall through the floor.
I've heard that they're supposed to be the British answer to Arcade Fire, and you can hear it in more of their other stuff in the sense that he's got a bit of a Wim Butler type thing going on with his voice. She sings through a loudspeaker, as far as I can tell. But
yeah, I think that's, I think it's worth pointing out to listeners that the chorus is, which we just heard, is not representative of the rest of the song, which is a lot lower.
I don't really like the chorus. It feels a bit of, it feels a bit like let's have a shouty chorus that everyone can remember. And the rest of their stuff might be a bit more Arcade Fire, but this really reminds me of something that Kasabian might do. But it just feels like they've, I don't know, it feels like they're aiming for credible pop, and someone somewhere thought this might sell a lot of records, and I'm really not sure that it will.
Kitty, Kasabian or Canadian?
Well, I was about to say, it's not often you get a band compared to both the Arcade Fire and Kasabian. That's got to be a first. Now, they're not the Glaswegian answer to Arcade Fire. They're just the Glaswegian answer to Belle and Sebastian and the Delgados and countless other Glaswegian indie bands who've had 20 million people in them and have made fairly uplifting, cacophonous pop. So they're in a proud line there, but I think this has been a line with diminishing returns. It's hard to hate Make Model, who I constantly confuse with Cut Copy. It's kind of a two-word imperative. But mind you, Make Model being... Oh, God. But essentially, I think that they are probably very nice people. I read somewhere on the internet that the LSB stands for the less said, the better. And it actually comes from some graffiti that was written on main man Lewis Gale's, place of birth or where he lived when he was younger. And it strikes me as an indie song against graffiti isn't the sort of thing I'd want to nail my colours to.
Musical mass to, yeah.
Yes, exactly. However, hard to hate.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit. Well, they've got, we were talking the other week about Black Kids and kind of female supporting vocals on choruses, and there's a bit more of that. But it reminds me of Los Campesinos with this kind of youthful energy.
Oh,
to
don't
it.
Get me started on Los Campesinos.
Yeah, I was going to say that to Rosie because she doesn't like to get started on them either because it's this whole twee thing which drives her up the wall. And I presume it happens to you too, Kitty. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm so far up the wall, I'm on the ceiling,
clinging to it desperately so you don't fall and hurt yourself and have to blame Los Campesinos. Anyway, we'll draw a line under that then if we don't like them that much. That is the LSB by Make Model, and it's out now. Each week, we ask you to contribute your own thoughts on the tunes we review and post them on our blog at blogs.guardian.co.uk/music. Last week, we talked about Portishead's Machine Gun, which perhaps not surprisingly divided opinion. Frisky Dingo thought it veered into Evanescence territory with that faux industrial sound over whiny high-pitched vocals. We're sure Jeff Barrow would love to hear that comparison. It certainly confused Al Punk, who asked, what song were you listening to? EJD confessed to singing Machine Gun when he's out, and by sing, I mean I do that rattle-clang beat. I guess I can see how that would be annoying. Well, I personally confessed to beating said rhythm out on a pub picnic table for the duration of Saturday night. But perhaps Crocodile's smile summed up the prevailing mood of the thread when he said, new Portishead, Emperor's new clothes. You can join this week's debate yourself. Log on to the New Look Music blog. Oh yes, oh yes. And post your thoughts on Death Cab, Lupe and Make Model now. You can even talk about Copy if you like. Here's some more music for your consideration.
Adele, Cold Shoulder.
Made of knives. Whatever you look at me, I wish. start. That was because of the moon. This is worth the pain as we run the cold rain.
Cajun Dance Party, The Wraith.
Start. That was because of my shoes. No, I made that excuse. I need another excuse as I follow my dreams. Realize all my dreams.
Grand National, By the Time I Get Home.
Wombats, back fire at the disco.
Wires crossed like they'd never done.
Thank you so much, Kitty Empire, for coming in and joining us today on our singles reviews.
Hey, no sweat.
And I'm very sorry for suggesting that Death Cab for Cutie were jaunty. Let's put that one behind us. That's it for this week's Singles Club, but please remember that Rosie writes a testicular version. Did I say testicular? I meant texticular version every Tuesday and offers more critical opinion than a drunken school teacher. Don't you, Rosie?
You can talk. You just referred to me writing something testicular.
I meant texticular. It was a coinage. It was a neologism.
Thanks for that.
Jism. You said it, not me.
Which brings us on to your interview with Hatcham Social. That is So So Happy Making by Hatcham Social. Now, Rosie, you saw them at Camden Court, didn't you? And they were the band what impressed you the mostest.
Yes, they stood out by a country mile. They're excellent live. I interviewed Finn the drummer and David the bassist. And I'd never seen them before. And as soon as they came on, so Finn stands up, he takes his shoes off and he plays standing up. I've never seen anyone play the drum standing up before. It really belts it out. There's a lot of tom drum in there, so it's really deep. And the bass, a lot of people have compared them to bands like Orange Juice and Joseph K, which they talk about in the interview. But actually live, they reminded me a lot of Stone Roses. The bass particularly, very slapping and rhythmical, but also melodic.
Well, about time Baggy Mega come back. So, what are you says a man who can remember it. What are you chatting about?
Well, the first thing I asked them was what they were doing this time last year.
The only thing I can remember is that we recorded our single with Tim Burgess of the Charlatans in February.
Yeah, that was the last week of February. So
we came out. Such a simple question, yet so tough.
How did you come to be working with Tim Burgess?
The previous Christmas, we put out a single called How Soon Was Then on 7-inch, and we met Tim here, actually, at the Proud Gallery. We gave him a copy.
Yeah, he was DJing with Alan McGee. They were on their DJ tour that they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
It was just strictly Coca-Cola and bananas. No alcohol or drugs.
Have you got a record deal, or are you just putting out records?
We're just putting out records. Yeah.
For what reason is that? You don't want to sign?
We're talking to people about getting an album, and obviously something the size of an album deal would require signing things, I think.
And it also requires a lot of thought, because you need to make sure it's the right thing to do.
So where did you all meet?
It was a mutual friend, actually. And then we just kind of got talking, and they were looking for a bass player. I'd never played the bass, but I said it sounded like I might be able to help. Borrowed a bass, and we went through some songs.
I think someone said you were the birth child of Joseph K and Orange Juice or something like that. And I've often wondered when bands get compared to other bands like that, whether it is true or whether it's just coincidence that they end up sounding like someone, whether they are even influenced by those bands.
I don't think we can deny that we're influenced by those bands at all. I don't think you should hide away from influences, as long as you don't just do a cover and completely rip off what you're doing. There's no harm in taking influences.
What other influences are there on your music that isn't musical?
Well, we all got into children's stories and sort of the things that are associated with that, like the artwork and the drawings that you get in children's books, and simplicity, naivety.
Always wanting to explore and, you know, have a kind of wonder for life.
When you start to, other people start to get involved with your music, like producers, and is there a feeling and you're like, they're not going to get it, they might over polish this, or?
We're completely self-produced. We've always done our own stuff, and then in the last 6 months with people getting involved,
and is that, you know, that's learning. Farris from the Horrors?
It started with Tim Burgess, and then Farris from the Horrors did the last single, and we're working with him now.
My final question, I guess, I mean, I sort of know the answer, because when I was doing a bit of research for this, and it said someone described you as a London-based indie pop trio.
Indie's incredibly important. I mean, the idea of what actually indie is in terms of why it's called indie, I think it's incredibly important.
We're reclaiming indie from the 80s when indie was indie, and then it became just a word for a genre of music, as opposed to that people are working independently. They're not being controlled by a big fat controller, and that's why the music industry's kind of gone where it has.
But at the same time, in the last 4 or 5 years, DIY is just totally thriving.
Exactly. We've got to where we are, having worked just on our own terms, and I think that's amazing that we've got this far. We've played abroad, we've done some amazing things, just doing it completely on our own terms. That wasn't me. That.
Channeling the spirit of a Spanish woman. We've played abroad, we've picked up the lingo.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, okay. We want to work with an independent label, with
people
who want to work with us, not people who sat behind a desk who are just signing you off and saying thank you very much. We want somebody who's going to take a serious interest in what they're getting involved in.
So what do we reckon that Spanish woman was saying?
I don't know, but she said it really loudly right into my microphone. She said, this thing is on, love.
Because I have a little bit of Spanish, and I think she was saying, I am looking for some soy sauce for my noodles. Because, you know, there's loads of noodles around
in
Camden.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure people out there in Podland might have, you know, the facility to rewind that again and again and again and work out exactly what it says, and find out that really they were insulting Rosie to her face. Now, over to you, or at least over to us, selectively picking bits from you and perhaps editing them so they lose any sense of your original meaning. Yes, it's time to look at your blog feedback. There was generally a positive reception for Dan Lesac and Scroobius Pip, the stars of last week's pod. Said Metal Malcolm of the Lakeside Shopping Centre, where the pair first met, I used to shop at that HMV, and it was shit. Glad something good came of it. Professor Wee Too chimed in, claiming he found the pair charming. Though, that said, he reckons Scroobius Pip is condescending in his lyrics, while Dan Lesac is, and I quote, boggled down by their own cheap IDM imitations. Rosie, what does IDM mean? Is that like some kind of explosive device?
It's Internet Download Manager. No, it's not. Intelligent Dance Music.
Intelligent Dance Music.
Or it could be Internet Download Manager.
Why is Intelligent Dance Music?
I wouldn't have said it was Dan Lesac, really. I would have thought, you know, intelligent drum and bass and chin strokey stuff.
Yeah, so basically the things, dance music that doesn't actually make you want to dance.
Exactly.
Okay, speaking of which, no, that's not speaking of which, is Pendulum are not IDM. But anyway, opinion was a bit wider spread on Pendulum and their drum and bass / rock music hybrid. I always liked Pendulum, despite not having a huge thing for pure D&B, said Sim, who went on to make the valid point that describing Pendulum as a crossover band was a little bit rock-centric, seeing as many rock bands take to the stage with as many boxes marked Roland as Gibson. Mr. Mydak seemed to think that the crossover was the worst thing about Pendulum. Swear word. Do I hate hearing Pendulum in rock clubs, he wrote. Outside of them, I don't mind it. Final word goes to La Papera, though, who makes breakbeat music himself and said, "It was a real anti-climax for me. From a drum and bass perspective, the beats are generic and unoriginal and the bass line's embarrassingly cheesy. Nothing really grabbed me. Then there's this whole rock thing. Firstly, the use of guitars is very sparse, and secondly, the sound was straight out of early 90s new metal, lacking any real edge and grit. I really had hoped they would bring something new to the table. As for the idea being original, I can remember many rock bands dabbling in drum and bass, such as Fear Factory, White Zombie, Pitch Shifter, et al. Of course, we want to hear your thoughts on this week's show, so head to blogs.guardian.co.uk/music to muse on Hatcham Social and Wiley, or even muse. A quick word on the Facebook page, where chaos currently reigns in the battle between I'm a Fan of Music Weekly page and the We, When We're Not Too Tired or Ill, Listen to Music Weekly group. People are joining onto both pages, and currently I think more people are signing up for the fan page. Yet we've had loads of new friends, and we didn't mention any last week, so here's a few now. Ali Merriam, Mohammed Jammer, Matthew Russell, Anne McIver, Ben Kelly, John Gresham, Darren Crawford, Zoe Mangan, Kimberly Powensky, and Paul Bovey. Right, I'm afraid that is it for this week. On next week's programme, we're going to be bringing you The Rascals. Right, that's The Rascals and Out of Dreams, and Miles Kane, mate of Alex Turner, will be here next week. We'll be back next Thursday, so register to get the podcast sent straight to your computer or MP3 player of any denomination for free. You can find out how at guardian.co.uk/music. That is all, however, for this week. Thank you, Rosie Swash, for coming in and joining me on the pod this week.
A million times you're welcome.
We'll be back Thursday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.